be seated, please. I think you're going to be seated. Okay. I really think you do that so you don't have to get convicted during the message. Where is the crazy crowd? The crazy crowd is back here. The crazy crowd used to sit right over here. And I'm glad you got chairs. They backslidden, okay? I'm glad you got chairs. The chairs save us from people climbing under the pews during the service. Okay? I remember that back in the 1900s that used to happen, okay? So our crowd was crazier than yours, but I don't want to challenge you, okay? Just stay normal. Be normal tonight, okay? Today. If you'll turn your Bibles to Job. And let's take some time to get serious. Amen? Just a little bit of time to get serious. I know pumpkin pie's coming. I'm going home tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do church ed, and I'm going to do City Baptist, and then I'm going to fly home. And I'm looking to pumpkin pie, too, also. And deer hunting, okay? That's going to be good. At least scaring deer, okay? Job, if you look in your Bible, to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, if we were to think about the man Job, some people say he's the greatest, one of the greatest men in the Bible. Really, he came, in time-wise, it come before Genesis, the book of Genesis. He was a man that God allowed to go through difficult times. Anybody been through some difficult times? Anybody faced some difficult times? And I'll tell you, hang on. And understand this, difficult times can come in your youth as well as in your latter years. I don't know, how's it in your latter years? Okay. Okay. Brother Stubblefield was here when I was here, okay? And he complimented me on one thing, and I'm not going to say what it is, since I have more hair. So I am not going to say anything else. Oh, okay, there's two of you over there. You're okay. Okay. Job went through difficult times. I can't imagine, honestly, a lot of people would have quit. In our day, you lose a relative, you lose a house, a car, have an accident. And people quit on God. I mean, there are folks in our church that just serve God for years and something happens devastating and they quit on God. But we find Job here, and it's exciting to see that Job didn't quit. But he went through something. He faced loss. He faced his wife's attitude, curse God and die. And who would say, I mean, any wife losing her children, going through some things, we are very easy to judge. When you go through loss, it's major. He faced personal friends that came to him and said, you know, if you just get your life right with God, everything will be okay. I call them the Three Stooges. Because, I mean, they came with spiritual advice, but they came at the wrong time. And at the end of the story, God deals with them. And we need to watch who we judge and how we judge them. Your pastor, I tell you, you have a wonderful pastor.
Amen.
And a wonderful pastor with a wonderful spirit. And he loves people. I mean, he loves people in spite of situations. And I'd like to be that type of person. Job faced his own attitudes concerning God's dealings. And a lot of times we don't look at that. We see Job, he was a man that loved God and he hated evil, eschewed evil. We read that first chapter and Satan comes and says, let me have him for a little while, and he loses everything. I mean, he's on top of the world. He's a man that would get up in the morning and sacrifice on behalf of his children, asking God to protect his children and his children to do right. Sacrificed. I mean, offered offerings to God on behalf of his children. He loved God. He loved his family. God blessed him beyond, just in that day, he was one of those individuals that God blessed. And as I read the story of Job, I'm challenged by the man. I don't know who could go through servant coming in. You've lost all this. You've lost all this. Now your children are gone. And all you have left is your wife. And that's a wonderful thing, but she's torn up because of what has happened. And we look at Job, and when we look at him, we know many of Job's character traits and really how he lived right for God, his high points. I focus on his high points. A lot of times I focus on his high points and some things. He made this statement, though he slay me, yet will I what? Though he slay me, yet will I? I'm going to trust him. I'm going through these bad times. These things have happened. These reversals have come. Years ago, I was here. When I was here, I believe his name was Tim Scott. He was just married. He was just married, served God in the dorms. I was in the dorm where he dormed. He and his wife couldn't wait to get married. And man, it was just an exciting thing. And I'll never forget the day he went out of here to go to work. He crossed 30, went there, and there used to be a sharp curve. I don't know if that curve is there anymore. But two guys decided that they were going to drag race. And when he came around the curve, there were two cars coming at him full speed. And he was killed instantly. And just reversal, just newly married, working hard, serving God. And I think the student body just kind of sat back and just said, what is going on? Why? You know, just a shocking time. And Job has reversal. And I want to challenge you, I don't care where you serve or what you do, there are going to be things that happen in your life. There are going to be reversals in life. I've sat with an individual that had the little baby. We were waiting for the coroner to come, and the little baby's laying on the bed, the grandchild. I've been with a man that had to unplug his wife. I mean, his wife had been there for, and there was no brain, there was no activity, and the old soldier asked me, and I said, I'm not God, I can't make a decision for you, but I'm with you, I understand what's happening. I've been there with a family that the father was dying, and they were singing hymns around his bed as he went into eternity. I've preached the funeral of 16-year-olds. I've preached the funeral of a 5-year-old that was at Walter Reed, and Walter Reed made a mistake. And the child died. And they were begging me to come and help me to console the parents. And there are going to be reversals. We've got to understand in our spiritual life there are going to be reversals. But the difference in reversal times is, do you know him?
Good. Right.
Because if you know him, when the reversal comes, you can depend on him.
Amen.
2 years ago, my daughter-in-law that went to West Coast, played the piano, played the Messiah, went to the piano conservatory, parents were missionaries. 3 years ago, her mother died of a brain tumor. She had a little baby, and he's now in first grade. He grew, and then she had her second child, and they found out she had a brain tumor, and she died the year after her mother. So the missionary up in Vancouver lost his wife, and my son just across the border lost his wife. And it was a difficult time. It was a reversal. You say, how in the world do you make it through things like that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
And I look at Job, and boy, I tell you, we look at him, and honestly, I love to read the things. He trusted God. God's opinion of Job was high. And as Satan tempted and said, "You give me him, and I'll turn him." And God allowed him to even have boils and health situations. He loses all these things, and then on top of that, the health comes, and he's sitting here in sackcloth and ashes, scraping his boils with a piece of pottery. And we see him, and boy, we read those first few chapters, and we really commend him. God had a wonderful opinion of him, and I've tried to look at this and say, man, I tell you what, could I make it through something like that? And I've asked in messages just in the last day, what would it take for you to quit on God? What have you ever asked yourself, what would it take for me just to quit on God? And I tell you what, it's a short cord for a lot of people. People don't think about it. Difficulties. But I'm glad that we can know him.
Amen.
That we can know him. I begin to ponder about Job, and apparently Job was not perfect. I'm glad, we are all sinners saved by grace. And we make, we blow it. Anybody here blow it once in a while? Every so often? You're all shining your halos, sitting there smiling like you're perfect. And I know, because I used to sit where you sit, okay? I know how you are, okay? You all have a good time with preachers that come in here and preach, but I have sat in your chair, okay? And I've had to deal with Brother Stubblefield, okay? He's had to deal with me, okay? I'm sorry, he dealt with me. But we got over that. Job questions God. And a lot of people don't ever get to that chapter. We really don't see that in his life. If you look in chapter 40, Job chapter 40, and I'm going to have to get my glasses out. I'm sorry. 1 year ago, I started having to use glasses. So it says this in verse 40. Chapter 40 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, notice this, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. God comes, and as God comes to deal with him, I find these chapters are just fascinating. As you go through these chapters, if you go back just a chapter or two, and chapter 38, really chapter 38 and right on up to chapter 42, apparently, finally, things have kind of gotten Job setting back and starting to question things, contending. And a lot of times we say this, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. Missionaries on the foreign field being killed in a car accident and their children left. I don't understand that. Yet I've seen it. I don't understand why. But now Job, that man that was stellar at the very beginning, he contends, he starts to question. And I don't know how bad it got. But I do know that God gives him a lesson. And I believe if we learn that lesson today, that our hearts could be challenged in difficult times just to move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'd just like to serve him till I take my last breath. And my wife says, Mike, don't preach out of Job. Every time you preach out of Job, God sends something in our life. And so Sometimes I call him the J-man. She goes, I said, I'm preaching from the J-man. And she goes, don't do it. It's not a good time. And I said, why? And she said, because the Lord always reminds us that it's Job and we need some of that ourselves. God gives him a lesson. And some of the questions, and I don't have time to go through it, but if you were to read, I mean, chapter 38 is powerful. He goes through creation and he begins to, it's almost like he gives Job a tutorial and he starts to ask questions about creation. I mean, will you teach, he asks this question, will you teach the creator about creation? Are you going to teach me about creation? I created you. I created the dust that you were made from. He comes down, will you show me the design of the animals? Will you take control of the mammoth beast of this world, the Leviathans? He said this, you know, were you there when I placed the stars in the sky and when I laid the foundations of the earth and I divided the waters? And we could go through these chapters, and Job is starting to question, and God begins to come to a place where he begins to ask him questions. And Job comes to a place after God asks him the questions. Job just says this, well, God, I think it'd just be good if I put my hand over my mouth and I was quiet. And sometimes that's good for us to do, amen? Just to be quiet and let God do what he wants to do in our lives. So I ask you this morning, how are you going to react to the difficulties of life, financial reversals? How are you going to react to a child that is born with a problem? I'll never forget my daughter. She had gave birth, and it was just a happy, happy time. And my wife went in with her and my son-in-law, and we were at Georgetown University Hospital, and our little grandson was born, and they're cleaning him up, and his little foot was just totally twisted another direction. And my daughter, I looked at him. She didn't question God. We said that everything's going to be fine. We're at Georgetown. The people at Georgetown said, you know, a little baby born like that would be lame for the rest of their life, but we can take care of that before he even realizes that we've taken care of it. And they cut tendons and straightened his foot, and we had cast, and I would drive her down every Monday to Georgetown University Hospital. And now he's a big strapping boy, and he has a bass voice, and he's taller than my daughter. And they said he'll probably run better than runners can run because what they've done with his foot. So we look at things that happen, and we have two choices. We can say this, I'm going to get bitter, or I'm going to get better.
Amen. Good.
And I'm going to let God do what he wants to do in my life.
Right, that's good.
You sit here today, we sit here today, and we carry on, you all carry on, but understand this, there is a real life out there that we face. And you can carry on and you can praise God and you can wave your Bibles. And that is good. I love the Spirit. I love the Spirit of things. But we hit real life and we need to get serious with God.
Amen.
And here's the question of the message today. Do I really know him?
Amen.
Do I really know him?
Good.
I mentioned about being in Georgetown for 5 days, and that was a good time for me to just get to know him.
Good.
With COVID and by myself, and it was a great time for me to get to know the Lord and just spend some time. I've always thought Job just did wonderful, man. He had great attitude, did great, served God, one that hated evil, loved God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But now he begins to contend with God. And God begins to show him who he really is. He's the creator. He knows all about us. He knows the situations you're going through today. He created this world. He has it all in control. And then it comes down to chapter 42. And I just have a simple thought I want to share with you. And we'll be finished today. Now God has Job's attention. He spent these chapters just sharing with him the creation of the world, the animals, the stars in the sky. And as I said in the message, God just moves his finger and he creates the stars, is what David said. And we come here to this portion and God has his attention. If you'll look there in chapter 42, in chapter 42 and verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, and I want you to understand, up to this time he had not said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But up to this time, it's as if he has not acknowledged the omnipresence, the omniscience, the great God. He knows God. But it seems like all the way through the book of Job, he has not, his attention hasn't come to the place where he focuses on this area. Notice what he says. He says, I know thou canst do everything. In other words, God, I'll admit it right now, you're omnipotent. Amen. And you can do everything. You can do anything. Well, that's a wonderful statement, isn't it? Notice, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. You might want to underline the word thought. He said, I know you're omnipotent and I know you're omniscient. You know all, you know everything. Now, there's some guys here in college that want to impress girls. Anybody know anybody like that? You don't have to raise your hand. And sometimes they think they know everything. But God has a way of rolling things over and getting our attention. There's some young folks here that think, well, I've got control of this thing. But I've seen people, like I said before, people are on top of the world and then the world rolls over on top of them. And they have to look up. Many times I've preached in our church. There's come a time where I was backed up against the wall. There was a wall on each shoulder, and there was a wall right up against my nose. And the only way that I could look was up. I don't know if you've ever been there, but Job is in that place. And now Job says this, God, you are omnipotent. You are omniscient. You control it all. Pastor, that's so simple. I mean, I'm in college chapel. Give me something I can scream about. Hey, you can yell about that. Amen. We serve an omnipotent God that knows it all. Amen. This is just a start. Job is moving in the right direction, isn't he? He's contended with the Lord, and now the Lord says this. Let me give you a lesson, and now Job says, I'm putting my hand over my mouth, and finally he says this, God, I'm going to acknowledge it. You are God. Amen. Let me go a little bit further. He says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not. He said, I opened my mouth when I shouldn't have opened my mouth. Anybody ever done that? Yep. Somebody says, make sure you salt your words because you may have to eat them. You know, make sure you season them well. You might have to eat your words. Anybody ever said something that you know, we say it was a slip of the tongue. But you know what it was? It was a slip of the heart. Because everything that comes out of your mouth comes from the heart, is what the Bible says. Job says, I've uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Now here's what I've been working to get to. He says, here I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand, I love that word demand. He said, I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. But you understand he's in a humble state right now. And the word demand has the thought. He said, I'm asking of you. And God, I need you to answer me.
Amen.
And sometimes, I'll tell you this, it would be good for us today to know him rather than to get to know him in tragedy.
Right.
It'd be good for me today to get close to him, that when the tragedy comes, I'm still close to him, and I still walk forward because I know him. The question is, do you know him? I'm like Job in chapter 1, man. I'm ready for it, like Peter said. I can take anything, even death. And then he's cursing at the fire. Boy, we're fickle. Here, I beseech thee. He says, I beg thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. He says, ask. He says, notice verse 5, and boy, I tell you, when I looked at that word, he says, Job makes a request. He asks God, he says, I have a request. I need your answers in my life. And today we have I'll tell you what, we sit here, and we're dressed up, and we have the Hiles Anderson dress code, but nobody knows your heart. And Job stops and he says this, I have some questions for you. In other words, God, I need to get to know you. Now, if you would ask me, reading the first few chapters of Job, I would say he's one of the most spiritual people that I would like to live right next door to him. I'd like to run and get counsel from him. And now he is saying this, God, I am wanting. I have needs. I need some questions answered. And there may be some people here today that in their heart of hearts, they're smiling, walking around with their Bibles and going to the classes, but you really need to get alone with God and get to know him. Reversals are difficult. Situations are tough. But there's a God in heaven that can sustain you through whatever you go through.
Amen.
Pastor, easy preaching. You don't know my situation. Well, I'll tell you what. I've, in my 37 years of pastoring, I've been through some situations. God has taught me some wonderful lessons. I don't want to repeat them, but God's taught me some. Spent some time teaching me some wonderful lessons. Notice Job makes a request. He says, I beseech. In other words, he says, I pray and I beg you. He says, demand. He says, it's not an authoritative word, that word demand, but he says, I simply ask you, declare or show me a knowledge of yourself, God. He stops and he says this, God, can I get to know you better? We can jump up and scream and wave our Bibles, but let's just get down to brass tacks today. Do you know him?
Amen.
If Job is asking this question, I would say there's a lot of us that are wanting in our spiritual lives. As I said, how would you respond with all the reversal that Job had? Now I want you to notice the thought, and boy, I tell you what, this is a powerful verse. There's a thought, it's a figurative thought that Job gives him, but I tell you what, it's a powerful thing. And I dare say there's a lot of us that sit here today that are in the same state as Job was. Notice what he said in verse 5, and I put it in red. I underlined it in red and put a big red asterisk there. I have heard thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He said, I've heard all about you, and if you would ask me, sacrificing for your children every day, giving God your best as Job would, I would say, man, I'm half that man. I wish I could be more like Job. But now we see this. He comes and he says this, I've heard about thee. But he said this, now mine eye seeth thee. And here's a question, just a simple question. I've heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear. One thing, it's one thing to hear, but it's another to see. It's one thing to hear something, but it's another thing to see it. But he says, but now my eye seeth thee. And he says this, God's message revealed a lack of knowing God. He came to a place where he said this, I've heard things, but he said, for some reason in my life I was lacking. He said, but now I see you. Now I think about Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. I know about him. I've seen people die for him. But then he saw him on the road to Damascus. Elijah. Man, he stands up and he has the fire of God fall down. He prayed, God, don't glorify me, glorify yourself. The fire of God falls down. And he runs from Jezebel. After a great victory, he runs and he comes into a cave on the Mount of God. And it's not in the fire, it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the wind. He meets God with a still small voice. And you know what the Lord says to him? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I believe today one of the things that would change us, and we have a tendency to look around. I mean, in a student body, if you don't watch it, you'll start looking around at everybody else and judging everybody else. And we have the major needs. Right. The person judging is the one that has the major needs. Living in the dorm is just, man, we're stacked. It was, at the time I was there, we were stacked in the dorm and living in close quarters. And you really got to know people. Do you all understand what I'm saying? You really got to know them. And smell them and all the other things. You got to know them, amen? And you got to know people. We got to really know them. Job comes to a place where he said, I've heard about you. I eschewed evil. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I lost all these things. When I come, he says, I shall come forth as gold. Amen? But in these last chapters, it's this last chapter, finally he sees God. And I think, I really believe, according to the scriptures, we need to know him in a greater way. Amen? Notice what he does. He said, I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He says, wherefore I abhor myself. In other words, knowing God, when you see God as he really is, you see what you really are. God moves you, confession, repentance, dealing with sin. Notice this. He says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. It says, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, and of course he's one of the three fellows that tempted and judged him, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for we have not spoken of me, but the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Down verse 8, it says, Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. God says this, I've done a work in Job's life, and I accept him. That's a wonderful statement. How is it today in your life? Do you really know him? Let's put aside memorizing 20 pages of notes so you can get through an exam. Let me ask you, do you really know him today? Well, you got to read the whole New Testament to get through this class. Do you really know him, or is it a program thing today?
Right.
Amen. Amen? Look what happens. I love it. He comes down and it says, and he says, so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar of the Naamathite went and did according to the Lord, and as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. Notice this, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, and I don't have to say much about it, but in verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. I can get up here and entertain you, but I believe the thought and the thing that we need today is really to know him.
Amen.
Amen? As omnipotent, do you really believe he can help you make it through? I used to sit in college and say, will this ever be over with? And I said, when I get out of college, no more tests. And I became a pastor, and I have a test every day. It's not written. And I have to check my attitude. But I'll tell you what. If you walk with God, he will change your life.
Amen.
When the reversals come, when death comes, when your son calls and says, Dad, I went to Starbucks and I'm just standing in line and just start crying. People look at me like I'm a freak of nature. And he said, just cry. And I have to say, God can sustain you. Here's a question for you today, and I'm finished. It's time. Do you know him? I mean, let's cut away from all the fun, and we're going to have a good time for Thanksgiving. But are we willing to stop? Say, God, you're omnipotent. You're present. And no matter what happens, I can trust you. Amen? Let's pray and we'll be finished. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, sometimes we have questions. Why? But Lord, would you teach us to trust in you? I pray for students many students won't raise their hand and say, I'm in difficult times, but in their heart of hearts, they're going through some struggles. May we learn to trust you. To walk with you in the midst of difficulty. God, our desire today is to know you. Stir hearts to decision. I pray that you'll build a hedge about each and every student, their families, and work in their lives, and reveal yourself as we've never seen you. Oh God, we need to know you today. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. The invitation is going to be played. And we need to take some time. Maybe you need to take some time just to get alone with the Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't have any trouble in my life. The longer we live, the more we face the difficulties, the situations. And if you know him and you walk with him, it can be a sweet time, even in difficulties. Why don't you step out? Let's use an altar tonight, this morning, as we finish.